Stars Fade Into Day by Radio Wakes, read by Swiftly. Steve knows her lot in life. She's the girl with the sketchbook and a mouth she can't back up, blending in with the wallpaper until an injustice makes her raise her voice and attract an array of disdainful glances. She's not beautiful or elegant or rich, and no one wants to hear what a poor girl from Brooklyn in secondhand clothes has to say about right or wrong. If she had the tall, powerful stares of the women gracing the magazine cover Steve passes each day, maybe they'd listen to her then. Those women command attention, and Steve lingers around newsstands sometimes to commit them to memory, to sketch later on. And Steve is short and mousy, skinny in a way that's all angles and no curves. She looks more like a girl than a woman. Attention slides right over her, even when it's a good cause she's trying to defend. Bucky is the beautiful one. They come as a pair, have done ever since they were kids, and Bucky is the one with the pouty lips and the dark glossy hair, the one who grew up to fill out dresses and blouses and call attention to herself without a word in every room. Bucky knows how to talk to boys. She knows how to flirt, in ways the older generation calls scandalous and low murmurs, in ways the girls their age envy. Steve is used to this. She sketches, and Bucky gets given calling cards from men, which she drops in the trash on her way home, and Bucky steals newspapers that they can pore over in their cramped, damp apartment, keeping up with the news of a faraway war. They talk about what it would be like if they were the ones who could fight, who could stand up for the things they believe in. They could prove themselves. Steve knows without a doubt Bucky could, and she has enough determination that she'd want to do her very best herself, live up to past memories of her family. And the only thing that stops the injustice stinging too bad is the distance between New York and the Western Front. Steve knows her lot in life. They have a routine. Early mornings, work in a munitions factory that didn't exist before the word Nazi slipped into common usage, lunchtimes together, and a walk back to their apartment through gray streets past multiplying enlistment posters. "We want you," Steve mutters one evening, her coat pulled tight around her against the chill. She feels the cold too easily even now she's out and earning. Sure they do. They do, Bucky glances sideways at her, her lips quirked up with a hint of a smirk. If you've got a penis. Steve snorts, blushes. Not everything is ideal, but it's the way things are. It would be nice, but Steve doesn't expect things to change. What are you doing tonight? Bucky calls from the bathroom. It's a Saturday morning, and Steve's already been up for an hour, has scraped together the last of the coffee, and is sewing up another hole in her second favorite skirt. Steve frowns. Nothing. It feels like something of a trick question. All of Steve's plans are made with Bucky. If she was busy, Bucky would know. I got us a couple dates. Bucky appears in the bathroom doorway, toothbrush still in hand. She raises her eyebrows at Steve, shoots her a grin. We're going dancing. Steve sighs. I don't dance. It's awkward every time. She knows a big, strong man is supposed to appreciate a petite young woman like her, but Steve just feels dwarfed and awkward and clumsy every time she sets foot on a dance floor, stumbling over her steps, breathless too quick with the same asthma that stopped her competing in anything back in school. Sure you do. I don't. You set us up with jerks anyway, Bucky. Well... Bucky disappears back into the bathroom for a second. There's the sound of the tap running, the rusting pipes grumbling in protest, and then she comes back to sit down next to Steve. I guess maybe there are only jerks left at the moment, but it's practice for when they see sense and let us go help the good guys. She nudges Steve's side with a pointy elbow. We need to do something. I do stuff, Steve says. She does. She's getting better and better at her artwork. She's heard about artists going over with the army to keep records. If she's good enough, she thinks they might take her like they're taking female medics over, so even skinny little Steve Rogers will be able to do her part. There's another rumor they might start opening more positions to women with the way things are going. Steve's trying to prepare for that, as well, training for the unknown. Bucky gives her a look, but it's easy for Bucky. Bucky's already been approached at the factory and asked if she'd ever be interested, if the opportunity ever happened to arise. I don't dance, Steve repeats. And Bucky stands up, pulls Steve up with her. Steve stands reluctantly. She knows Bucky. They're as stubborn as each other, and if Bucky's got an idea in her head, now it's here to stay. You just need more practice, Bucky says. She rubs her thumb over Steve's bony wrist and then points into the corner. Go put your shoes on. Come on, I'll lead. Steve smiles, shaking her head. Well, I'm hardly gonna lead, am I? She goes over to put her shoes on anyway, neat little heels with just one or two scratches and scuffs from whoever owned them before. They always make her feel a little knocked off balance, as though her feet are suddenly too small. She takes a couple of steps back into the center of the small room cautiously, so focused on where she's treading that it takes her a second to realize Bucky is laughing at her, grinning wide but silent, eyes sparking. Oh, come on. Fine, I won't. Come on, Bucky says again, and reaches for her. Even with Steve wearing her heels and Bucky wearing her darn stockings, no shoes at all, Bucky is still taller than her. Steve's eyes are level with her mouth as Bucky rests one hand on her waist and curls the other around Steve's fingers, moving her into the right position. Ready? This is dumb. Steve lets Bucky reposition her, though, rests her free hand on Bucky's arm and shuffles so she's balanced better. There's not even any music. You're dumb, Bucky mutters, but she's grinning, automatic retaliation. She lifts her arm and twirls Steve under it suddenly. Steve stumbles with the movements, Bucky directing them over to the wireless as she spins, but she keeps herself stable and is laughing when Bucky reaches out behind her to flick the wireless on. The reception is bad, and the music crackling through the buzz of static isn't the best for dancing like this, but Bucky raises her eyebrows in a question, and Steve nods anyway. Dancing with Bucky is easier, is the thing. Bucky doesn't intimidate her in the same way men with their strength and their strangeness do when they hold her like this. The control Bucky has is more comforting. The way Bucky takes control of the apartment when the heat breaks down again. The way Bucky takes control of Steve when Steve is sick but too stubborn to admit it. Steve's heels don't make the same noise on their threadbare carpet as they do on a dance floor, but she counts the steps anyway, glancing down too often to make sure she's not about to squash Bucky's toes underfoot. She's done that to a few men before, never worrying because they've always been wearing shoes, always seemed so big that she's sure she couldn't hurt them anyway. Steve knows Bucky is a little more delicate than she's ever willing to let on. Bucky squeezes her hand. Stop worrying, that's what makes you so stiff. I can't help it, Steve sighs, glancing down again instinctively as Bucky says it. I don't want to crush your toes. Look at you, Bucky says. She leads them into a turn, neat steps and perfect posture. You're a shrimp, Rogers, you're never going to crush me. Steve laughs, close enough to Bucky that she can see goosebumps jumping up on the line of Bucky's throat where Steve's breath hits her skin. Reckless, she mutters, and keeps her eyes on Bucky's neck, because this is the other part where it's different from dancing with men. Steve knows that the width of a man's chest and the strength in his broad shoulders are supposed to make her want to lean against him and rest her head. But it's Bucky she wants to lean into like this, to rest her cheek on the curve of Bucky's breasts and listen to her heartbeat as they sway, just a little out of time with the music. It would be easier to keep the beat like that, she thinks, as she stumbles again and loses focus. See, you do dance, Bucky declares. Steve tilts her head at her, because she thinks she's really just displayed all the reasons she doesn't, but Bucky raises her eyebrows in that way she does when she doesn't really expect a retort. You just need to relax. Sure, Steve says, like it's that easy. As though there isn't a war going on and more people leaving the city every day. As though she really does want to date and meet men and not just stay with Bucky, here in their apartment, tucked away from the cold streets. Steve knows her lot in life. She knows what a young lady is expected to desire, and dreaming of going to fight with the men is breaking convention enough. She should at least dance with them, too. Bucky gets her letter 3 days after Steve's letter of rejection arrives, and hers doesn't contain words like regret, fitness, inadequate standard of health. Bucky's contains a date for a training camp and another couple of weeks later for when she can board a boat and leave. I didn't think they'd want me, Bucky says as they sit, knees knocking together in the small space under their kitchen table, both staring at the letter. They didn't want you, and you're a goddamn model citizen. I'm short. Steve gestures at her chest. I have asthma and get ill. They were never going to want me. She keeps her tone as light as she can, trying not to let any envy or bitterness creep in, but she's jealous of Bucky. She's resentful of her own body. Yeah, but... She looks back up, eyes fixing at Steve. It's gonna be weird. Steve knows what Bucky means without her having to say another word. It's always been the two of them, the Steve and Bucky team taking on the world one hurdle at a time. Steve can't imagine New York without Bucky. She can imagine Bucky in England, France, climbing into a plane and not taking any back talk from the soldiers around her, but Brooklyn feels like it will fade into nothing with Bucky gone from the city. Steve gives her a smile, just a little strained. Tell me about it. Who's gonna set me up with jerks now, huh? Bucky laughs, tips Steve a wink, and puts the letter down on the table. Without me here, you can just take your pick. Of the jerks? Thanks. Not everyone who's left is a jerk. Some of them just... might be too unhealthy like me, Steve asks. She shakes her head and echoes Bucky's shaky laugh. We'd have some real punchy kids. You're gonna be fighting them off when you're over there, though. You know they haven't seen a girl in a while. Shooting them down ain't gonna be half as fun without you there, you know. Treading on their feet won't be as fun without you here, Steve says. Though, until you're back, I guess I won't have anyone dragging me out in the first place. Her voice wobbles a little as she says it. Until Bucky's back, because she will be. And she tries to ignore it. Bucky does the same, a forced, casual undertone to their words. You've got to get out there even without me here, Bucky says. Keep up our reputation and all. Can't have you out of practice when we win the war and I bring all those eligible bachelors back to New York for you, can I? She stands up in a sudden movement, dragging her eyes away from the letter with an obvious effort. Come on. She holds her hands out. What? I'm not leaving you unprepared, am I? Bucky says. Steve lets out a laugh, but she stands as well, steps in close to Bucky, and holds her without hesitation now. Bucky's hands are warm on her skin, through her thin shirt. Sure. Bucky holds onto her hand more tightly than she ever has before, and Steve finally gives in, lets herself sway in close and listen to the beat of Bucky's heart, the way she'll keep time once Bucky's gone until she returns. In the quiet of their apartment, a siren wailing somewhere in the far distance, shout from a few floors below. They dance. The end.